Thanks so much for allowing us to be worshiping with you in your homes, whether you're on your cell phone or your computer, wherever you're worshiping. It's great to be with you, to open God's word up. And today we are going to be in Acts chapter 17. And this is a very practical sermon on how to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, with those in your circles of influence. You see, there are many times, whether you've tuned in online or you've been present in person with us here at worship, where you hear Pastor Rich and myself continuously tell you about the mission of our church, our mission to connect, grow, and serve. And that is our mantra. That is our mission. That is how we are tasked through God's word. That's the words we use of, instead of being and making disciples, we are connecting, growing, and serving. That's what we're about. Yet, I bet many of times you wonder, okay, well, I know I, as a follower of Jesus, I'm called to share the hope and the love and the grace that I have because of Jesus living, dying, and rising for me on the cross. I know that's what I'm, that's why I'm saved. And I know that I'm supposed to be a disciple and make disciples. Yet, how am I supposed to do that? Hey, Pastor Danny, I hear you always talking about you need to share the love of Christ with those in our circles of influence, but how? I know the why, but I don't know the how. So we're going to try to give you the how in just some very simple steps by looking at the Apostle Paul in Acts 17. We are, as I've mentioned, our main thrust that Jesus puts, the main goal Jesus puts on our lives as followers of Jesus is to go and make disciples, be disciples of Christ. And the thing that we want to focus on, that God has called this church, this group of people here in West Knoxville to do as Grace Lutheran Church, is to connect, grow, and serve. But the main piece that we want to focus on is connecting people to Christ. And the reality is, if we are not connecting people to Christ, then we're wasting our time. Then we're wasting Jesus' time. And because, actually, better yet, we're not obedient to what Christ calls us to in Matthew 28, in Mark 16, and throughout the entire book of Acts, to share the gospel, to tell people about the good news so that people know the hope and grace of Christ. That's what he calls us to. And so we want to be a church who really puts a majority of our energy into connecting, because if people are connecting to Christ and to one another, then naturally the growing and the serving is going to come. That's got to be the foundation. And so we see Paul do this in a very beautiful way of sharing the gospel in chapter 17. And we see Paul in verse 18, it says this, it says, some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. And so he is talking to these highly intelligent people, these Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. And we'll get to what they're all about in a moment. But I had a friend in college who was in a philosophy class. And he told me about this final that he had one year in this philosophy class. It was for half of his grade. It counted half of his grade for the entire semester. And so all the students are trying to study and prepare for this. They get into the class. They sit down. This is before you had tests on computers all the time or your iPad or something. You know, you had pencil and paper. And so they sit down. The teacher hands them the final. There's a couple of pages stapled together. It says name, and then there's one question on the final. And the question in this philosophy class for the final is why, with a question mark. that's the final. And so my friend told me that a bunch of people just start writing down all kinds of stuff. They're writing pages and pages of the answer to why. And he mentioned a friend of his became very frustrated and was just sitting there, didn't know what to put. He got really frustrated and tired of it. He would start writing in a race and start writing in a race and start over again. And finally, he was like, you know what? Why not? Question mark. And guess what? That was the answer. He got it right. And maybe these are the type of guys that Paul's dealing with these Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. You see, the Epicureans, they had a view of the soul that was very materialistic. They believed everything was by chance. And they also believed the main goal of life is to just bring gratification and pleasure to yourself. That's it. There's no other purpose in life other than gratifying yourself. So being entertained, making sure you feel good. And what that leads to is selfishness. Well, on the other side of the coin, you had the Stoics. And they believed God was the spirit of reason. They believed when you died, your soul was either somehow absorbed into God or burned. And if there was any part of your life where life became challenging, there was really no more reason in life to live, then they just thought the best way, the most reasonable response would be taking your own life. Well, both of these philosophies were opposed to Christianity with its doctrine of God, the soul, us being broken, sinful people, yet there being redemption through the grace and mercy of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus, the eternal life that we have because of Christ and his resurrection. And so you see what a great opportunity that Paul has to bring hope and truth to these people, to give them an eternal future so much more awesome than anything they could ever fathom or imagine for themselves. And so as he's sharing this message, we see these philosophers and people say, you bring some strange things to our ears. You know what they were telling Paul? We've never really heard anything like this, any message like this before. We've never heard this teaching about the resurrection and Jesus. And so what I want to do is, as we just look at this text, I want to just share three simple ways Paul spoke to these people. First, if you have something to write with, if you have a note app on your phone while you're viewing this, the first thing you want to put down is be courteous in presenting the gospel. You see, Paul shows us that this first thing to do is to be courteous. Notice he begins where the listeners are themselves. He doesn't denounce them. He doesn't attack their gross idolatry. And they had idolatry. You see that he was walking around. He saw that they were devout, that they were there, that there was, as he says in verse 23, as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. And prior to this, he says, I perceive that you're very religious. He was very courteous. He could have said, oh man, all you got is a bunch of idols around here. You guys are a bunch of idiots. What are you doing? This is wrong. How could you? You're going straight to hell. Well, that wouldn't be very courteous. And just so you're aware, if you ever try that, people just stop listening right away. It doesn't work. See, to be courteous, to be loving, to be respectful as you're having a conversation with someone about anything, but especially about Christ, is the way to go. And so Linsky, a commentator, says, Paul had learned to take the sinners where they are. The gospel, he knew, Paul knew the gospel had the power to transform them, because the gospel had transformed Paul himself. If you don't know anything about Paul, you know he loved persecuting Christians. He enjoyed killing them, watching them suffer prior to him being a Christian himself. He understood firsthand that the Holy Spirit could do amazing things, and he believed that with all his heart for these people as well. And so Paul's address to them is a masterpiece of just how he speaks, how he cares, how he's courteous. Brian Bill, who's a pastor, talks about this statement of to the unknown God. He says there's a number of these in Athens because several centuries before this, there was a plague that hit the city, and a man from Cyprus advised a flock of black and white sheep to the people to just have these sheep go out and just go everywhere. And when they stopped, they would kill that sheep right there, and they would find the nearest altar, and they would sacrifice that sheep. If there wasn't an altar nearby, they would build one and dedicate it to the unknown God. Well, the plague eventually lifted and the altars stayed. And so what happened is the people attributed their deliverance from this plague to the unknown God. Evidently, Paul found one of these altars among many because commentators, historians say there was around 30,000 of these altars in Athens. So you didn't have to look very hard to find one. And get this. There's all these altars to an unknown God, and they're still not sure that there's enough. When you don't know the true God, friends, you always turn to idols. That's where we go as human beings. And not just one, because many of them, because one can never be enough. See, some of our friends and neighbors have idols, and maybe they're not just sitting on a shelf somewhere in their house, but they're more hidden than that. You and I have idols at times where we will follow those instead of the one true God. Brothers and sisters, are you spending enough time with non-believers to know what their idols are? To know what brings them joy? What brings them sorrow? When you hear those things, are you able to be courteous enough and not opinionated to just listen and maybe ask questions about what they're saying or what they're doing? Because if I'm honest, I see Christians a lot of times, and especially online, that are not courteous. We put something out there and we kind of say, this is it. This is the way it is. And there's no other way around it. This is it. And when people see that and they see that from you, it frustrates them because they feel like there's no way to have a conversation with you. And let me just share with you, life in person or online is life. You can't be one person online and one person in regular life. It's all life. So that means we have a deep calling to be courteous, to be loving, to be kind to our neighbor. And by the way, who's our neighbor? Well, it's everybody. It's your friends, your family, your coworker. It's your yard guy. It's the person that you run into in the grocery store. It's the checkout person. It's everybody you encounter. All of those people in your circles of influence. And so this is what Paul does. He says, I perceive you're very religious. He's courteous. He's kind. It's a great strategy. And he even says, I see that you have put things about unknown gods. And this, by meeting them where they're at, by using this unknown gods, hey, if they have a bunch of gods, they're open to hearing about one more. Because the God that Paul is talking about is unknown to them as well. And so he shares the gospel boldly with them, but courteously, in a kind, respectful way. And friends, this is what we can do too, by listening, by watching, by observing our neighbors around us. Notice Paul, it says he passed along and observed the objects of your worship. What was he doing? He was checking out their area. He was observing. He was paying attention to where they live and their culture. That's important for us. Know your neighbors, know your family, know what they're all about so you can meet them where they're at. You can use something that they say, something they do in a very loving way to say, hey, I want to meet you here too. Even if they disagree with you, it's not going to hurt your witness. It just opens doors. And so the second thing, this is related to this, seek common ground with your neighbor. Pay attention on how you do this, and you're going to see how it works. And maybe you're like, well, I don't know where to start. As followers of Christ, we can always start with prayer. Lord, give me an open door to share Christ this week. Amen. That's where you can start. If you don't know where to begin, say, Lord, give me an open door. Or if you're finding yourself not wanting to share the gospel for whatever reason, maybe it's uncomfortable, maybe it's hard, maybe you're just in a bad mood, whatever the reasoning, you could always pray this prayer as well. Jesus, help me to love people like you love them. Amen. And I will guarantee you, the Holy Spirit will work in some way. He will provide an opportunity for you to share the gospel. You will get what you pray for, and He will soften your heart, will open your heart to sharing the love of Christ with people. You see, it's not up to us to convert. Jesus only asks that we be salt and light. We share the hope that we have because of Jesus. And what's great is He does the rest. And so what happens? He shares this gospel. And it says in verse 32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. So not everybody bought the message. And hey, that's the reality. When you share the gospel, not everybody's going to receive it. It's the way it kind of goes. But there is a very big but in this text. Because right after that, it says, but others said, we will hear you again about this. So not everybody heard the message. Yet, what are we to do? Point number three, never be discouraged. Not everybody heard it. Yet, what happens? Some wanted to hear him more, and then it says, Paul went out from their midst. In verse 34, but some joined him and believed. Some men and women were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought them faith after Paul was obedient and shared the message, shared the gospel. And friends, the world was changed because there was more believers of Christ because of the Holy Spirit working through those words, through the way Paul reached out. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing with you and me. Even today, He gives us faith, He gives us forgiveness through Christ, and He gives us a mission. He allows us to be part of the mission to connect people to Jesus. So friends, look for that this week. Pray for that this week. Let's close with prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would provide opportunities for us to share the hope that we have with those in our circles of influence. Father, help us to love your people and the people all around us the way that you love them. Lord, it is in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, who is our hope and our joy, that we pray. Amen.